Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. On the line with us is Tessa Dooms, who's a political analyst and director of programs at Rizvonia Circles. We're going to have a conversation around the celebrations by the ANC, led by Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of the ANC, as well as the government's president of the South African Republic. He was outlining some achievements after 100 days of governance with the GNU. Tessa, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
What did you make of the president's speech overall?
Well, I think that what's important about this is the need to celebrate this 100 days. Because at the beginning of the 100 days, there wasn't a clear agenda set. There wasn't a clear set of milestones that this government was going to have us tested against. Mm. So usually when governments around the world celebrate 100 days, it's because at the beginning of that 100 days, they've made commitments. Mm. And this government has been very intentional about not making any commitments, especially time-bound ones, even when it had a golden opportunity in a coalition to actually create a set of priorities based on shared manifestos and shared priorities. And so, firstly, this is just a celebration of having made it to 100 days without anyone pulling out of this really rather wild and ad hoc coalition that they have formed. And we know that there have been moments where we've seen some uncertainty from some parties about whether or not they'll stay or go. And so the bar is very low for just kind of having kept it going for 100 days. Mm. But in terms of the achievements, are much like what he says about the manifesto, are not different from what have been delivered if the ANC was in power by itself. Mm. And that's really a telling story about this government of national unity or coalition, is that the ANC has used a coalition in order to regain power it lost in an election. Mm. And so where the voters said no, the ANC has said yes. And the other parties in this coalition seem to have no ability or will to assert themselves. And we see it with the DA trying to assert itself with things like the Bella Bill, the pending NHI issues. But we just aren't seeing that this is going to be the kind of coalition that the other parties are going to have any say. And on the one hand, for ANC voters or for people who believe in the kinds of values that the ANC holds or are very wary of some of the coalition partners, that might sound like good news. But on the other hand, it just sounds like more of the same. Mm. And that means that the accountability that a coalition could build and coalitions around the world are not made up of parties that agree with each other all the time. And mm-hmm. that's one of the things that makes them successful, mm-hmm. because you now have at the table the ability for accountability, for push and pull, for real debate at the government table. And I think that we are going to lose out on that in this arrangement because the ANC seems to be strong-arming its way through here. It is not a win for the country. Mm-hmm. For an ANC that's manifesto was rejected by 60% of the voters, to brag that its manifesto is still going to be the prevailing one, and its will, especially its will, to do as it pleases, really, will prevail without any pushback.
Do you think they will still wield that power for the next 5 years? And you said, you know, it doesn't seem like other political parties are managing to rein them in. You've got AfriForum, who's called on the DA and the Freedom Front Plus to withdraw if the NHI continues on the vein that it continues to be under. Of course, we know that the president said no, that he's still, you know, reconsidering certain clauses. But do you think it will hold for the next 5 years, this GNU relationship?
I think that the biggest threats to the GNU not holding is within the ANC, not outside the ANC. Mm. And again, that speaks to the impotence of the other players around the table. I mean, the DA, even for all of the noise that it's made, has not actually had a bona fide discussion about leaving the GNU. At best, Helen Zille has threatened, and I think has withdrawn from talks about local government arrangements. But that's got nothing to do with the national arrangement. And so I think that the DA would seem are committed to this, and mostly because for them they've landed in the butter, as it were. There was very little chance that the DA was going to be able to be in government at this point or maybe even any point in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So the DA is not going to easily give up the kind of power that it has gotten through this arrangement. The other smaller parties have even less incentives to walk away because they were even further away from the kind of power that they wield now. But if they don't use that power to check the ANC, check each other, and call each other in and call each other to order, then this is a missed opportunity.
Since you've just mentioned the fact that, you know, they remain so powerful with the manifesto's objectives remaining in place, their objectives as the ANC remain quite prominent, how do you think that's going to affect, for instance, the DA when they go to the polls, even in local government, as well as the national government that's looming, elections?
See, I think because, again, the bar is so low for the success of the GNU or the coalition government,
mm-hmm.
I think the DA could accidentally or by default actually benefit from this GNU staying together, even if it doesn't do extraordinarily different things, almost especially if it doesn't do extraordinarily different things. You would remember that a lot of the anxieties from the camps of parties like the DA when it came to these coalitions, or actually throughout the election season, was a swart gevaar about some sort of radical overthrow of system and all of that. And they were really playing the stability card. We saw it in the first few days after the elections when business came out and stability.
Mm.
So the DA really doesn't even have to get the ANC to do extraordinarily different things. If it can just keep the status quo, it will probably do well in future elections because voters will realize, oh, the ANC can lose power, share power with a party like the DA and the SS Plus, and the sky hasn't fallen. In fact, it's been relatively the same. And voters may then say, well, then there's no need to return the ANC. Hmm. And so the DA may benefit, in a sense, from that because there isn't this groundswell that the ANC has to have 50% for everything to go as planned. And so this might backfire with the ANC, that it continue to claim that this is a GNU that is run by it and the ANC is in charge. If it does well, it will just be seen that the ANC doesn't need to be in power, and if it does badly, the ANC will be blamed.
What do you make of the talk of the dialogues that everybody will be invited to, a national dialogue? Do you think they're going to yield any serious results? Do you think they'll move a needle at all?
Well, at this point, the dialogue is not a government intervention. It is an extra-government intervention. The political foundations, the Mbeki Foundation, Amakapada Foundation, etc., are the ones that are driving the process at the moment. So whether it will even see the light of day is yet to be seen. But it's going to require political leadership. It's going to require not only political leadership from the GNU or the coalition partners or from the ANC. It's going to require political buy-in and leadership across all parties. And I say that with a real sense of seriousness. I do think that the country it's necessary right now for us to actually get back into conversation with each other, for us to actually get back to a point where community by community, we are asking, what is the state of our country? What is the state of our communities? And what needs to change? Because the focus has so much been on elections and has so much been on the politicians and on government. And so we've always just asked, who do we need to change in government in order for things to get better? And I think there is a different conversation in the country that is needed about what kind of country do we want to be and what is the role of all of society in doing that. And I think if there is political will, not just from government, but from all political parties, civil society, business, community-based organizations, schools, to actually do that kind of work, I think there would be benefit in it. At least to kind of surface what some of the underlying tensions are that the political parties are glossing over. But at this point, there isn't a real sense that there's political will for it, or that it would amount that somebody's going to take those ideas that come from communities forward anyway. And that's where the political will is so necessary.
What's your reading of the boycotting of the celebration by the SACP?
The SACP is making political coin. It is, number one, playing on the safe side of an ANC base that has been left a bit confused While the ANC leadership may feel like they have saved the day for themselves, their positions and the party, the ANC rank and file, the members of the party have been left a bit confused and unsure what this means for the future of the party. And so I think the SACP is positioning itself for the eventuality that I spoke about earlier, that the ANC is going to be seen to not need the votes and may lose traction, or something may go terribly wrong with this coalition government, and the SACP wants to be able to position itself as a home for where those votes and those voters could go if they find themselves unhappy with the ANC. But they are not going to make the bold move, which I think is what is necessary if they want to make the point that this is a sell-out position for them as an alliance member, of actually stepping away and saying the consequences if the ANC continues with this coalition. In fairness to AfriForum and AfriForum Solidarity, they've probably been more emboldened in the way they've spoken to the DA and the way they've spoken to the FF Plus about consequences if they continue. I don't think that the ACCP is speaking with enough confidence and enough of peace that can make any real impact right now.
You mentioned earlier that if there's any threat to the GNU, it would be internally in the ANC. Just expand on that a bit.
Well, yeah, so the ANC itself, seeing where it's getting gains and losses and people feeling like there may be political losses and want to push back against the GNU. So from the alliance partners, but from within the ANC itself. The other element of it is people who feel like the ANC has become too complacent and decide to leave it for the EFF, decide to leave it for the NK party, because there are now other ANC-like options that are viable. So the ANC could find itself in an internal revolt. It could find itself in a position where internally its membership starts getting really worried. I mean, I've definitely thought about what it feels like to be an ANC minister and watching the DA, the Patriotic Alliance, really making sort of PR level of even small wins. The DA's Minister for Education and Gaita McKenzie is the Patriotic Alliance leader now, Minister of Sports, have signed an MOU around bringing sports back into schools. It's not law. It's not even policy. But it looks like a win, and it's positioned as a win. And so the ANC ministers have not been able to do the same. They've not been able to show the kind of, wins or excitement and gain that kind of popularity that you're seeing other ministers being able to gain. So they may start internally saying, this thing is not working for us in the way that we thought. And if there's a real push within the ANC, and particularly in the lead up to the 2027 internal conference, if there's a leadership push, because of course Cyril Ramaphosa can't return in 2027. So that leadership battle, the leadership battle that we think we've seen brewing with Mbalula, with Sufi, Paul Mashatile, if that starts using this coalition as a battleground, definitely the ANC could have this thing fall apart.
So where do you think this battle between them, which already is quite public, is going to lead the ANC's Fikile Mbalula? In fact, I'm going to bring in the third person. We obviously also saw utterances from the Youth League a couple of days ago saying, you know, if Cyril Ramaphosa does not give us jobs by December, we would rather go in there and go to the union buildings, and he must allow us to lead. What do you make of this race already, which is already quite public? Fikile Mbalula, we're seeing already, as you said earlier, with Panyaza Lusufi. And my sense, obviously, is that, of course, Youth League, I'm not sure they've got much power to wield, but I think they're making enough noises to kind of give us a sense that the race is on.
Yeah, I mean, I would add another player into this that you might not think about, the Veterans League, which has become an increasingly powerful voice in the ANC that's reconstituted itself in the last few years, mainly under the leadership of former President Mbeki, who are also calling for a heightened renewal, an urgent renewal, a vetting process within the ANC to root out the bad elements. So there are a number of different people who are fighting for the soul of the ANC, fighting for the future of the ANC. And again, if the political football becomes the coalition agreement, then it will definitely have consequences for the GNU. And that could happen much sooner than later, depending on where people think the best rewards are, the options are politically. And I think that we must also keep an eye on the opposition in this country right now. We must keep an eye on MK. We must keep an eye on the ESS. They are not non-entities. Mm. They are in very, very powerful positions to, number one, expose what's happening within the GNU space. And they are highly incentivized to play the watchdog role. And Parliament has not been known for being very good at its watchdog role, but right now, 10 parties or 9 parties, I guess, in the cabinet sitting there together, you can, if the MK and EFF play their cards right within Parliament and really, really like hawk eye to see if there are any ways in which the government is not performing or doing something wrong, when they throw that punch, they're punching 9 parties at the same time. There's a lot of political incentive for them to actually play a proper parliamentary oversight role. The different committees that are not being chaired by ANC people, also massive opportunities for, you know, playing political opposition and building bases from GNU partners who, if found to be wanting, people will be looking for options outside of the GNU. And that will mean that a party like MK, a party like the EFF, could really benefit and get a lot of political mileage out of just doing their parliamentary duties.
And we've seen that the NPA has decided they're not going to go ahead and prosecute the president on Palafala. But it is coming back to Parliament. You've just mentioned the fact that if they rallied together, we could see some noise. Do you think the president should be worried?
I mean, Palafala will always be the hammer that swings above the president's neck. And again, the worries that the president and the ANC would have is not from the opposition in this regard, because of course the MK party, the ESF, and everybody else who's outside of the coalition don't have enough votes to do anything about it.
Yeah.
However, if there are people within the ANC who see political value in removing Cyril Ramaphosa, they always have Palapala in their arsenal. And so a divided ANC could join forces with opposition parties and really make a big deal out of Palapala in a way to try and remove the president early.
You don't think, Tessa, that the DA may also see that as a sort of a, as a weapon if needed?
I really doubt it. Hmm. I sincerely doubt that the DA sees any value in trying to unseat the ANC unless they've completely walked away from the coalition. And yeah. I don't think they're going to do that. They just have gotten way more buck for their bang for their buck
yeah.
in terms of this election. I mean, to be at 20% still and have 6 ministries is not what the DA thought was possible in this election. So I do not think that they're going to be willing to give up the gains that they've gotten in this election. And if you look at the kind of PR that they're playing, I think they will leave. They want to just produce a stable coalition in which they can come out as good as possible from all of this, unless something very dramatic happens.
So what do we make then of the noises made by Helen Zille? I mean, she's obviously been crying foul over Tshwane. I mean, she's been kicking and screaming. Is there anything there in that noise?
No, there isn't. And the reason why I say so is this is a perfect opportunity to actually, level an ultimatum. And the ultimatum she leveled was that they would withdraw from negotiations of the local municipalities. They're not even in those coalitions yet. She's talking about withdrawing from that before she's talking about withdrawing even from the provincial government. I just don't see the DA walking away from this arrangement anytime soon. I think they're going to use it to make as much noise as possible. I think Helen Zille herself feels like she needs to assert herself and assert the party as often as possible. But I do not see them really running down the path of trying to leave this coalition. I think their voters would be very confused.
I really, really appreciate your time. Tessa Dooms, who is political analyst and director of programs at Rivonia Circle. Thanks very much for that.
you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.